Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, biblically sound, and brutally honest. We have a topic today. We're going to talk about the importance of male friendship. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's a guy with a guy in the sense that we're not. I know we have stealthy women that listen in, but we're not looking at giving you information on how to have a friendship with a man. That's not, and a woman. That's not what it
right.
is. We're talking about
yeah.
with guys, and it's fellowship, it's brotherhood, it's camaraderie, it's hoorah time type of thing.
So and that's the show.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I knew I could bring it down and concise. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Oh man, my nose is running and everything here. So we have an encouragement, I think, today.
Yeah.
Well, you look like you have, like you're encouraging.
Well, as you know, Raul, I have been summoned for jury duty. So I'm going to be doing federal jury duty, you know, if they need me, that sort of thing. But it gets you thinking about the whole legal process, right? And so I'm thinking about this, you know, this jury duty that I got coming on. And I started thinking, if my Christian faith were on trial, is there enough evidence to convict me?
Ooh.
Yeah, quite a thought, huh?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just, you know, digging. And,
right.
you know, I'm talking about, you know, surface level.
Yeah.
You know, is there enough evidence to convict me? And, you know, so and that's the part of, you know, self-examination, like we're told to do, to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith, you know, we're told in Scripture.
Yes.
So that's my encouragement today, that the guys who are listening, gentlemen listening.
Gentlemen?
Yes, gentlemen, that they would examine themselves to see that they are in the faith, that they are, I hate to use the word doing, because it's not doing that makes us saved.
It's living it.
It's living it. Is there enough examples of our Christian faith lived out in our lives
yes.
that people would automatically know that we're a Christian? If we were on trial for
yeah.
being a Christian,
yes.
would we be automatically found guilty?
Yes. Wow. I've heard that before, but I like the way that you put that and kind of bring that all around. Now, the guys who are listening, they have no clue about this, but you actually checked to see whether or not you'd be guilty by doing something online, didn't you? Yeah, I didn't even know that they had these, but you
yeah,
actually
I went online last night and I found a test for the assurance of salvation to make sure that you're saved. And I took this test, answered all their questions, and I'm not saved.
You probably didn't give a donation to
apparently I need to do more to be saved. Praise God, we don't have to do anything.
Yes.
Our salvation is based solely on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, man, if you come across an assurance of salvation test online, don't even bother with it.
Yeah, the enemy would probably want you to take that so that you can feel bummed out in a sense. But you know what? No, brother. Hey, just trust in the Lord. Get some other brothers around you to be able to get to know. Anyway, we'll just listen to the rest of the show. How's that?
Yeah.
We'll just go
well,
from there.
I guess they do kind of tie in together, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do, as a matter of fact. So anyway, so how about let's just segue right into that. That's a good encouragement, though. And the other one is, of course, keep listening to this thing.
Yeah.
When you had mentioned yesterday when you texted me what the topic that you wanted to talk about, Do you know what relationship popped in my head first? A biblical relationship?
I'm guessing David and Jonathan.
That's it. Exactly. And I've heard, so when I studied that and when I've talked about that in small groups, in a Bible study or in just in general, it's funny how people can perceive that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They can take it into areas where I'm saying, how do you see that, you know, or because I don't, you know, and, you know, just yeah. the perception.
And it's even been used as an excuse for sin.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so I'm going to kind of bounce off of whatever you have here, because as you very well know, and I said to you when you came in, hey, man, I'm winging it today.
Well, that's okay, because, you know, so much of what we do on the show is just speaking from the experience that we have,
yes.
having, you know, lived with Christ, following him, the examples of our lives before Christ was there, you know, so that's okay.
Yes.
So we're going to go back a little ways.
How far?
We're going all the way back to grade school.
Man, you know, we had horses and...
yeah. with your horse-drawn carriage. And,
yes,
all
yes,
right.
Yes.
So I found this interesting. I read this, that the greatest determining factor for who your friend is in grade school
mm-hmm.
is how close they are to you on the seating chart. It doesn't
where you sit.
Yeah,
in
where
the
you're
classroom.
Sitting in the classroom.
Oh, okay. Huh.
It didn't have anything to do with social status or color or income. That, in fact, they find that because most kids are seated alphabetically, the majority of kids in grade school, their closest friends, have a letter that in their last name that's close to theirs.
Hmm.
So, you know, like mine being Z, you know, I might have been friends with the the W kid. You know.
Yes.
Which I thought about it, and I'm going to see them. There was Chambers and Barons and Biscay and Cummins. So all of my friends were like B's and C's. So I don't know how this worked out.
Well,
but
you're
according
closer
to, the study,
to those if you
yeah,
did
if,
full
if we're
circle.
Sitting in a circle. But
yes,
yeah,
so we would have been friends there.
Yeah,
there
but I thought that was really interesting.
Hmm.
But then as we grow up, you know, we allow other factors to start invading our perceptions of what a friend should be.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what happened with, you know, I went to, you know, high school and college, you know, and I have some great friends from those times. But my experience is that when I met the woman who I would marry and then we became married, I put so much time into this relationship that I allowed my other male friendships to mm-hmm. fall aside.
Yes.
You know, that
yes.
they became neglected. And when you neglect a friendship, well, it, you know, it
becomes stale
out.
And it just yeah. all of a sudden just kind of drifts away.
Yeah. And it seems, and I think that that's something that probably a lot of people go through. And when those kind of friendships disappear, it becomes more difficult to establish new friendships,
mm-hmm.
Especially guys, you know, who are in their 30s and up. We become, you know, creatures of habit. We have these patterns,
yes.
and we've established for ourselves, you know, through time that we might not need these friendships, and we may have even had, you know, hurt in some past
mm-hmm.
friendships,
mm-hmm.
and well, you know, I don't want to go down that road again. Because,
right.
you know, I don't want to open myself up to hurt again.
Right.
So, you know, we have a tendency to kind of shut down and isolate ourselves.
You know, and that's a very good point, because so often, even in my life, in hindsight of looking back over relationships that were very, very close, my very best friend in grade school right through high school, it ceased right after that. I went a different path. I went into the military, and he became a firefighter and stayed in the same city and became a firefighter there. And we just never connected after that. I came back married, and he was married, and but we did not attend the same church or functions, and et cetera, et cetera. And what's really funny is that when you mentioned this, I thought to myself, I said, grieving. Whenever there's a loss, there has to be, for healing purposes, a grieving period, a time that we actually acknowledge what it is that we had with this individual, okay? And that if it is no longer the same way, that means there's a loss. There's something that is taken away. And if I don't acknowledge that, that just hangs. It just kind of just hangs over me. And it's always there. It's unfinished. Because I always remember it type of thing. So there is a grieving process that needs to take place, especially when I've decided to, you know, okay, I don't want to pursue this any further. My life is different. His is different and two different paths and whatever. That doesn't mean I don't acknowledge it in a sense, but I need to probably go through that process. And now I'm not talking about just grieving that's as a topic or anything, but I think that's one of the things that hangs over our heads as men, because hey, we just don't want to have to do that. So that's stuff that the women do, and they tell other people to do it, but not for me. I don't need to do that sort of thing. But you know what? So often we look at it at things that we need to do. I mean, Jesus wept. You know why he wept? Because of the death of Lazarus. He was a friend.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
How many of us have had friends that have passed away, literally passed away, okay, that we didn't grieve over? And maybe we didn't see them any longer, no longer a friend. They moved to another part of the country, and it's a loss, just like a death is. We need to grieve over those things, but we hang on to those things. And here's what happens, is that it keeps me from wanting to have other friendships, just like you said. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to just get to know somebody, then all of a sudden they're going to be gone out of my life. I don't want to do that. Well, really? None of us do, but we need to trust in God. And anyway.
Yeah, well, that's an actually really interesting point that I hadn't even thought about, because it brings up that whole factor of the, you know, as men, we don't really grieve very well, because grieving is a sign of weakness.
Yes.
And if we are weak, well, then we're not the warriors that we think that we are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and we put up these fronts and we put up these walls so that we, you know, don't show weakness.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're feeling it on the inside, not allowing anybody to know. And what would I do in that situation, Raul? I would avoid further friendships because I don't want to experience that pain anymore.
Yeah. And that's a natural thing to want to feel, because we just don't want to have to do that. There's a reason why Jesus says, it's plain and simple, the second commandment, greatest commandment, is, you know, as important as the first one, to love your neighbor as yourself. And how do you do that? Well, if they're in pain, you comfort them. If they're in need of food, if they're hungry, you give them food. If they are in need of warmth, then you give them clothing or you know, fire, whatever, and to be able to comfort them. And the same thing goes with this sort of thing, that in turn, when we end up, I'm just rattling on. I'm just shut up right there. Go ahead. I know, I left your blanket hanging there.
Okay, yeah. Well, as men, what is it that we tend to pursue, though? We tend to pursue, wealth and status and power. You know, this is the modern day warrior mentality that we have here, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we're pursuing these things, what are we neglecting? We're neglecting the weightier matters of the law, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have these ungodly pursuits, we tend to, forget about the godly pursuits.
Yep.
You know, and I think about the Forbes 500 list. Okay.
Mm.
Here's all these men.
Always wanted to be on that list.
Men and women. There are women on the list too, so don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But the Forbes 500 list, these are the people who have pursued wealth and power, and they've achieved it, and they're honored by this magazine for everything that they have achieved,
yes.
Whether it be some of them, it's by greed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other people, maybe it was just thrown into their lap, and they're not, maybe some of these guys are not greedy, and they're actually very godly with the money that they've been given. I'm not trying to judge anybody's heart here.
Right.
But our country honors these people above everybody else. These are the powerful, these are the wealthy.
Yes.
Now, have you ever seen a Forbes 500 list of people who demonstrate love, beyond measure. That
humility.
Humility, friendship,
yeah.
Sacrificial giving. Have you ever seen a Forbes 500 list for these kind of qualities?
Well, it's not called Forbes. I'm only kidding.
I don't know what kind of list you would call it, but
yes.
So just to show that, you know, these are the qualities that aren't really sought after by, you know, by the people of not just this country, but I'm sure lots of countries, because people are the people no matter where you go, and we all struggle with the same sort of things. So it just shows that how we have a skewed perspective on what's valuable.
Right, right. Yep.
So, you know, if we can learn, you know, to, you know, and this is part of the sanctification process that God puts us through to, you know, because he changes our minds about things.
Yes.
You know, and he's, I used to want to have lots of money, you know, I used to want to have power. And I still have, you know, temptations in those ways. But God has laid it on my heart to, you know, to what's more important than that?
Uh-huh.
Well, the people that he's placed in my lives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just, you know, to put it in perspective of a family, you know, a guy goes to work and he makes money, and almost all that money goes to taking care of that family.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's, you know, actually a selfless love when he does that without complaining about it.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there are a lot of guys who complain up one side and down the other about how their money goes to other people when they have, you know, a project car out in the garage.
Wait a minute. I don't think other guys think like that. That would only be you.
I don't want to think like that.
I know.
You know?
I was trying
to try
to be defensive because, yes, I used to think that way. I used to feel that way.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a break right now, and let's come back. And I don't know exactly what direction you want to take this, but
I'm not sure either.
I'd like to know, what is it that actually constitutes the beginning of a relationship with another man? I mean, most guys who sit there and say, oh, what are you talking about? No. A relationship, a friendship.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
You're busy, and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know, it's funny how, boy, that was quick. Just, I guess I ran out of music. I just waited too long to actually get on, and that's what happened. But anyway,
sometimes you get into the song and you just want to keep listening,
or I want to keep reading. I want the song to keep going so I can actually get my thought together and everything. But anyway, what is it? Are usually the steps? Sometimes I think it's done without knowing that we have to take certain steps into the beginning of a friendship, the beginning of a relationship that turns into a friendship. Because a relationship and friendship, I mean, we have a relationship with everybody. We have relationships with our enemies. It's a relationship. It may not be a very good one, but it may be sick in a sense, but it's a relationship. And I like how people, and I used to be one of those that used to respond, said, yeah, I don't have a relationship with that guy. And I remember being corrected. Yes, you do. This is not a very good relationship, but you have a relationship. It may not be a friendship, but, you know, you do have a relationship. So a guy changes something from a relationship to a friendship. There usually is an unspeakable or it's not brought up, a checklist, you know, of things that have to take place. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's something that especially as when you're older, as a friendship develops, there seems to be, you know, a commonality that is, I hate to use the word required, but it seems to be, you know, always there.
Mm-hmm.
For example, my father loves sailing, and most of his friends are also sailors.
Yes.
You know, these are the people that he spends time with, and they shares a mutual interest, and, you know, so, yeah, you know, it starts out as a relationship, but as, you know, we spend more time together realizing, you know, the commonalities that we have. And a lot of those commonalities that we have, we didn't realize that we had mm-hmm. until we start spending time with one another. So, you know, the developing of a friendship, there's not some sort of magical formula to it. You know, fill out this questionnaire.
Right.
Make sure that you match on the 5 points of such and such or no.
So what would you think is the difference between a relationship and a friendship? What actually separates? So not separates, but because I look at it as a friendship as a new level of a relationship, right?
Yeah. Well, a friendship experiences brotherly love. The Greek word for that is Philadelphia, and in the English language we don't have, you know, different words for love. We just have the word love.
Love, yeah.
Other languages have different words for love, which is advantageous because you can speak of it without getting confused.
Confusing others.
Yeah. So this brotherly love that we have is something that develops from the relationship as we, you know, spend time with one another and,
right.
and discover the commonalities that we have. And
mm-hmm. So a part of, I guess where I was, what I was looking at is that in a friendship, it goes to a deeper level where all of a sudden you seem to trust more than in a regular relationship. Mm-hmm. In other words, I meet somebody for the very first time, you know, I get to know his name and maybe we're at a gathering and maybe a dinner or something. And you get to know the basic things, you know, and as most guys would end up doing, what's the number one question that most guys end up asking other guys?
What do you do for a living?
There you go. That's the one that always comes up, you know, as if that is so vital what guys are really looking for is to see if there's a common denominator.
Yeah.
Unknowingly, you know, let's see, can I relate with this guy? Because if he tells me he's a CPA and I turn a wrench for a living, I don't know what we got anything to talk about unless it's whatever we're there for, you know, in a sense. Like in ministry work, men's ministry, that's what we're both a part of. Amazing how we can bring men of different likes or different fields of experiences in life to come together to be able to, under one common denominator, and that'd be a relationship with Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah, and that's a wonderful common denominator.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially inside of the church, you know, we have this, you know, this bond under the banner of love of Jesus Christ. Outside of the church, you know, that bond is usually something much different. Whether it, you know, be a sport or a hobby, sometimes it's just drinking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just, you know, the love of marijuana. Whatever sort of sinful proclivity we might have that will draw us together.
Man, don't throw those big words out of me this early in the morning. I'm sitting there going, let me get my dictionary.
Yeah.
But
the trust that we develop, mm-hmm. it's not something that's automatically given in full. It's something that it takes time to develop.
Yes.
And this trust is important because a true friendship has a level of transparency to it.
Yeah.
And without that transparency, you can't really get below the surface.
Right.
And that's where the true friendships are found.
Right.
So as we, you know, as we develop the trust, that's where, you know, that comes in.
Right.
Now, the Bible never tells us anywhere that we need to trust other people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to always put our trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that we can't build a level of trust with other people.
Right. But as a result of, where it reminds us about testing everything, against his word, or, if it is in line with what the word says, then, that you have some credibility. There's some things that I'm saying, okay, this is what goes on. But guys sometimes are looking for, aren't necessarily looking for friendship. I mean, for me, even though I'm an outgoing type of person and personality, always have been, I was looking for knowing people that they would know me, but not really knowing people. What I mean? I didn't want to take the time that was necessary to get close to people. But sometimes that happened automatically or without me realizing what was actually happening.
Yep. And I like that you brought up the word time. That's an interesting word to bring up because of the fact that in these busy lives that we lead,
right.
What's that saying? If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. We're busy.
Yep.
I'm a busy guy. You're a busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at, the fact that in order to maintain a friendship, it takes an investment of time. Sometimes it's easier just to say, maybe I'll just let this friendship go because I'm just too busy for it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do that, we miss out on a very wonderful aspect of the relationships that God has placed in our lives.
Yep.
The book of Proverbs is just wrought with teachings on friendship. And you look at, like you said, David and Jonathan, they had a close friendship, even to the point where Jonathan stood up against his father in the defense of David.
Mm-hmm.
He chose his friend over his dad.
Yep. Yep.
That was the genuineness and the closeness of that friendship that they had.
Yep.
We're designed. That's the word. We're designed for relationship,
amen.
For friendship. And, ultimately the example is Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. He calls us a friend.
Yes.
That is our ultimate example. And Jesus will never let us down. But we know that us as flawed people, when we come together in this friendship bond, there's a chance, Raul, of being let down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both, it's scary to a guy, even though we won't admit it.
Right.
And it's, it becomes a reason to say, I don't want to go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah. Job is one of the ones that I think of as far as friends and how he had lost everything, his family and everything that he owned. And his friends who were close to him, they came to him, but they were silent. They kept quiet. They grieved with him. They allowed him to be able to grieve, and and they just kept silent. And sometimes that's the best thing a person can do when someone is grieving a loss of something. It's not come up with an answer and so on and so forth or start to talk. It's about just being quiet, just being there. Knowing that you're there is very comforting sometimes. So what ends up taking place is that after a few days later, they start opening up their mouth. And then all of a sudden, that's where Job is just going, okay, he's beside himself in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so friendships have, I believe, a season in our lives. And sometimes they're meant to be there for long periods of time. And other times they're meant maybe just for a purpose. And but in seeking those and having those, let's take a break. When we come back, let's find out about what do you think it would take to be able to, or what is it that we need to do to decipher whether this is a friendship that is long-lasting or one that's just for a certain purpose? Or should we even think that way? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I give you my all because you gave up your life. I'm not who I was, simply because, oh, you set me free. Yeah, you changed me from what I used to be.
Back to Band Brothers Radio. Welcome back. In the studio with me today is Mib and Man in Brown.
Yep, we're talking about friendship.
Talking about friendship. I want to read something because you mentioned Proverbs earlier. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25 in the new NIV. I like what it says in this one here. It says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with easily angered, with one easily angered. Or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. There's a lot to learn from just those two verses right there. I mean, it's reminding me about, first off, people who are hot-tempered, including myself, need to change, allow things to change in our lives, okay? Hot-tempered is not good. That means that there's something, issues there, some challenges, okay? And you don't want to associate with people who are easily angered because, you know, that can be very uncomfortable at times.
Yeah, like walking on eggshells.
Yes,
you know,
you just
never know when the egg's going to crack. Yeah.
And then, of course, reminding me that that we can learn how not to do that sort of thing. Because, and what ends up taking place is that you end up becoming like that. You end up thinking that that is something you do, especially if this person has, and I'll say, has something that you want. In other words, the guy has maybe he works on old model cars, and he's a great painter, and he does some great paint jobs on these vehicles, and you like hanging out with him because he knows his craft, and he does it really well, but that doesn't mean that he's not hot-tempered or he's easily angered, you know. But the fact is, you hang around with him like that, guess what you're going to end up doing? You're going to end up emulating that somewhere along the line. It's going to be part of who you are, all right?
Yeah, and the book of Galatians speaks about the same thing, that when a brother is in sin and we confront him on it, we also need to be wary that we too don't get drug into that sin.
Yes.
What you're talking about, the hot-tempered guy, well, those are that can cause wounds.
Yes.
And those are unnecessary wounds.
Yes.
But Proverbs also talks about a different kind of wound, and it says wounds from a friend can be trusted. Yeah. So a true friend is going to be willing to speak into your life.
Right.
And maybe even tell you some things that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear.
Right. Right.
You know, a true friend is going to do the hard thing and give you the hard word to hear.
So how do you know what a true friend is? When you mention, you use that, because we've often use it, but it usually means that there's a closer relationship there, right?
Yeah.
You have relationship, you have friendship, a true friendship, and then I'm sure there's other adjectives going to be thrown in there too, but that's a tighter one than just a friendship.
A true friendship, you know, we long to spend time with the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A true friendship has a level of trust that is established.
Right.
A true friendship has shares a mutual love. In this case, it would be a brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else would be part of a true friendship?
Well, you know, a big part of it would be the simple fact is that you would actually trust them enough that you could actually do this test. We've all done it. We've all been in, whether it's in the classroom or maybe on a camp somewhere, where you team up with who you consider your partner, your best friend here today, whatever, okay? And we want to do a test on trust. So you close your eyes. One of you stand and close your eyes. Your friend gets behind you. Now you need to let yourself just fall straight back, knowing that they'll catch you.
I remember doing that at summer camp.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Raul, they dropped me.
Well, when you weigh 500 pounds.
I do not. Oh, but we did. Oh, my goodness. I remember we did this called the trust fall. And,
yes.
And I was actually on a platform up higher, and there were like
down
six
yes.
people down below.
Yeah.
And oh, man, I was like 5 feet straight to the ground. I forgave them.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was good. Well, that sort of thing, that's someone that you can actually consider a true friend, someone that you know that you could do that and that they would catch you. They would make sure that no harm would come to you or do everything they can to keep you from any harm coming.
Mm-hmm.
Camaraderie, a tightness that ends up coming in men who are in battlefield situations, whether it be on a battlefield or in, you know, wherever it may be, where there is harm that's coming toward you and they're trying to take you out, there's a certain bond that takes place amongst brothers, okay? And you call them brothers because you're like-minded of the same thing, maybe the same uniform, the same belief, whatever it is, the same cause that you're there for. You end up doing whatever's necessary to protect your brother along with yourself, but you're actually, in a lot of cases, there to make sure that there no harm comes to them, and you'll do whatever's necessary. There's a certain bond that takes place there that is, there's only one way of being able to experience that, and it's the same way, you know, mm-hmm. doing the same thing. So,
yeah. So let's look at Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Hmm.
So we oftentimes will have lots of relationships, but we'll have few friendships. We'll have lots of companions, but none of those companions have we developed, you know, that trust and that brotherly love and all the things that are necessary for a true friendship. But then the true friend, you know, while the companions mm-hmm. will run and leave you to your own demise, that true friend is going to stay close to you.
Right.
You know,
right.
just as Job's friends did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stuck close to him when Job had lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were true friends. They when they started talking, they didn't really do a very good job. But you know, you have to credit them for the fact that they stayed loyal to their friend Job.
Right. Right.
You know?
I always wondered, I wonder if they stayed close because they knew that eventually they'd get an opportunity to speak into his life and tell him how he's screwing up in their mind. You know, we're not here talking about that right now. But anyway, truly, when it comes to friendship, now here's the thing. Eventually, I kind of feel that you wanted to talk about this friendship that is like, we've been talking about it already, kind of touching mm-hmm. base with it here. This one with Jesus Christ. That he is a true friend. He says, you know, a master or a servant's not to know what his master is up to, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
But he
no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends.
Yes. And as a result of that, when we hear that, we hear it, but when we really hear that in our heart, it means something totally different. It means like, ooh, I'm important to him.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks of me.
He wants to spend time with you. He wants to hang out with you.
Yeah.
That's what a friend does.
Yeah.
And Jesus wants to hang out with us.
Yes.
He wants to be part of our every life.
Yes.
You know, that he wants to hang with us while we're at work. He wants to hang with us when we get off work. He wants to hang with us when we're hanging with our buddies. You know, there's that relationship there, and Jesus is the ultimate example, and you know, both in his sacrificial love, you know, that he has demonstrated, because he, the fact that he calls us friends, you know, that he loves us that much. I mean, he, you know, he took those nails on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. You're not going to do that for somebody you don't like.
Yes.
You know, for
yes.
somebody you don't have an abiding love for. And so, you know, we have our abode with Jesus. And that, you know, he is the example of a perfect friend.
Yes. Now, one of the things that ends up taking place is that makes it kind of challenging, because we sit there and go, yes, I would love to be a friend of Jesus, but there's some things in this world I don't think he would like me to be doing, but I really enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy what I receive from this thing that takes place in my life that I can seek. But if I had Jesus as my friend, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or wouldn't feel comfortable, or I'd feel guilty, or maybe I'm not, maybe there's something to that verse that maybe that doesn't apply to me.
Well, that this is one of the tools that the devil uses, Raul, to keep us from relationship with Jesus. He puts these things in our life, and he, you know, we draw comfort from things. So, you know, we may draw comfort from, you know, drinking to excess.
Right.
Or gambling, it could be eating, you know, whatever these things are, you know, and the idea that that we need to fix ourselves before we can come to Jesus and be his friend is just a fallacy.
Yes.
Because it's Jesus who changes us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus changes us.
Right.
We come to him because he says that he is a friend.
Yes.
You know, we come to him because of what he has done and who he is. But we it's not like we have to fix ourselves before we can be a friend to Jesus. You know, but we have that view because, you know, one of the reasons is in our worldly friendships, you know, I may think that I have to, you know, to change this aspect of myself before I can be, you know, a friend of this guy. So here, say I'm interested in being friends with a guy who is, say, an avid gamer. But I don't play video games.
Yeah.
So what do? I start, you know, playing video games because maybe this guy will like me if I start playing video games. You know, but that's not the way it is with Jesus. He's not going to like us any more or any less because of, you know, what we're involved in. He says, come to me.
Right.
You know, who? All who are weary and heavy laden. Who's weary and heavy laden? Well, who isn't? You know, he's saying, just come to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's something about the simple fact is that throughout scriptures, as Jesus' ministry began, and he talks to everyone through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Paul goes on to talk about him, and James talks about him, and so does Peter and John. And anyway, so they all end up letting us know that Jesus considered us friends, and he considered them friends. And there's a reason for that he ends up saying friends as often as he does. Do you by any chance know how often friends is mentioned in the New Testament?
I do not have that number in front of me.
Well, you're going to have that next week, because I'm going to test you on that to find out how many times friends is brought up in the New Testament. It's a lot, I will tell you that. Okay. Hey, this is a good topic, man.
Yeah.
I wish we were friends, but, you know, we're working on it.
Ow. Ow.
All right, brother. Listen, I'll get outside. You fall out the window. See if I can catch you.
No, other way around.
Oh, I see. Okay. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, I just praise you that we have a friend in Jesus. I just ask that that we would be moved in heart to act as Jesus did towards other people, Father, that we would love with the love of Jesus, that we would come to trust, Father, because you seek for us to have these deep, meaningful relationships so that we have the relationships that emulate the one we have with Jesus. Praise you, God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.